Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys, and welcome to the official kickoff to the 2023 season of the Bears Talk Underground. This is my 17th season doing the show, and probably the most exciting one we've had in quite some time. I mean, if 2018 was pretty great, 2010 was awesome, but the anticipation going into those seasons hasn't been anything close to what we've got going here. And then on Friday, the Bears lit the football world on fire by very early, you know, almost, 7 weeks or so early, pulling the trigger on the trade for the number one pick, sending it off to Carolina and getting a haul in return. So, I mean, it was quite the hubbub. And, of course, the bastards for the second year in a row. But I've learned my lesson. I won't be doing this again. But I went home this past week to Chicagoland, spent it with the family, celebrating my birthday week. My sister and I both born within a couple of days of each other. I'm the older one. She's almost exactly 3 years younger than me. I was born on the 8th. She was born on the 6th. So we always celebrate our birthdays together. And, you know, same as last year, went home for the same week and everything and decided, you know what? Nah, don't need my podcast stuff. Free agency starts after I get back. So no big deal. Well, last year we cut Tariq Cohen. We cut Danny Trevathan. And then, oh yeah, we traded Khalil Mack to the Chargers last year. So there I was, you know, essentially twiddling my thumbs for 4 days waiting to go back home so I could, you know, react to this whole mess. And this year the exact same thing happened. I was like, nah, free agency begins. It's going to be very exciting for the Bears because we actually have cap space to do some things. We're expected to make some big splashes. Day one, which for those of you listening is today, because the legal tampering period begins around noon, noon Eastern, so 11 o'clock Central Time today. So we'll be hearing the fireworks and hopefully the Bears making deals before the end of business today, and hopefully some of the names that I'm going to be talking about here in a little bit. But for the second year in a row, they do something that I needed podcast stuff for. Because I wanted to react and be on, you know, get my reaction out there as quickly as everyone else did. But, you know, let me tell you, I might not bring the whole smash with my mixer and, you know, and all the rest of that stuff. But next year, when I go home for my birthday, I am at least, at the very least, bringing a microphone with me. So I can do it old school when I would just plug the mic directly into the computer and record it into my software. It's not the fancy setup that I have now, but I'll at least be able to get an emergency pod done so that I can get my reaction out there instead of being, you know, 3-4 days late like I am today. But yeah, so plenty to get to. We're going to sneak in a quick free agency preview as well. I mean, most of these deals will probably be taking place when you guys are finally listening to this, but wanted to get my reaction to the Bears-Panthers trade out there. Talk a little bit about free agency since the Bears actually are going to be part of the discussion quite a bit this year. And kick off 2023 of the Chicago Bears. Did I say Chicago Bears Ryu? I hope I didn't say that at the beginning. Bears Talk Underground. My God. It's Wow, that's old school. Chicago Bears Review. Or at least that's what it was called the first, 12 years or so of the pod? So, all right. Let's get to it. This is the 2023 free agency preview episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone. You know what? It's already been a long day. It's Sunday. I'm planning on going to bed right after this, and I think my brain is already on my pillow, counting the sheep. It's been a long day. Had the 4-hour drive from Chicagoland back to my home here in Iowa, and I'm ready to pack it in. So forgive me if I started with Chicago Bears view. Wow. Anyway, so Friday afternoon, I'm sitting in my dad's house. I was working from home, finishing up the week. Nothing going on. Fiddling around on my phone, and then the alert comes over: Bears trade number one pick to Carolina. I was like, "Ooh, Carolina, okay." And you know, obviously for like the first 5-10 minutes or so, we didn't know what the compensation was, but it's exciting. You know, it has to be something, especially since, you know, anyone who's been following the process knows Carolina's coming in at number 9. So that means we're going from 1 all the way down to 9. So the haul has to be significant if we're going to drop down 8 spots and well outside the range of a Will Anderson, possibly of a Jalen Carter. I mean, him and his latest drama with the car accident and such like that, he may still fall to us at 9 anyway. I mean, which would make Ryan Poles look like the genius of all geniuses, that he could give away the number one pick, move down 8 spots, and still get the guy he wanted all along, kind of thing. But, you know, whether or not we actually want that guy after all this, I don't know. Talent-wise, absolutely. But I've been hearing this mess plus the things that I've been hearing about him and how he prepares, I'm not so sure that I would want Jalen Carter on my team, or at least to be investing a high first-round pick on him, especially when the Bears, even after this trade, are in a position where they still don't pick again until like 53 after this. So, yeah. It's a lot of space to lose a lot of prospects between 9 and 53 when we could have had a shot at somebody else that we could depend on. But nonetheless, 5-10 minutes later, it finally comes over. Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, and such start doling out the details. And, you know, obviously the Bears dropped from 1 to 9, so we swapped first rounders this year. We got a 2024 first rounder. We got a second rounder this year, number 61, in the trade. And then as I was going down the list, I was like, second round pick in 2025. That's interesting. And then the cherry on top. Oh yeah, and we got DJ Moore. And that's where I sprung right out of my chair, because that makes this a huge win for the Bears. Because now we don't have to give away assets to go after a guy like T. Higgins. We don't have to give away assets to bring in an aging DeAndre Hopkins, or, you know, take or overpay for Jacoby Myers or anything like that out there on the free agent market. You know, that's what makes this such a baller move by Ryan Poles, because it's being compared to other recent moves of this ilk, like the main example being Stephon Diggs being traded to Buffalo, and then year 3, Josh Allen explodes into the stratosphere, into the superstar that he's become over the last several years. But when Buffalo traded for Diggs, they gave up like a 1, a 4, a 3 the following year, a 6-round pick. They gave up like 4 picks to get Stephon Diggs. And obviously that worked out, so that's a trade Buffalo would make every day of the week and twice on Sunday now. But they gave away multiple assets and took a chance on Stephon Diggs, and obviously it worked out like gangbusters. But on the Bears, on the other hand, they gave away 1 pick. They got 2 1s, 2 2s, and a proven commodity at wide receiver on a franchise-friendly contract, because he got his bag from Carolina already. And so, but it's also not the Tyreek Hill $30 million a year extension. He got like a 3-year, $60 million deal from the Panthers, or an extension, I should say, that kicks in this year. But his cap hit is like $17 million versus $30-something million for a Tyreek Hill and guys like that as well. He's under control until 2025, so it's not like we have to, you know, give him a bag past this season to stay with the team. We've got him until 2025. So, like, and we got 2 ones and 2 twos, like the complete opposite of how Stephon Diggs was acquired by the Bills. The Bears gave away a pick, a very valuable one, at number one overall. But in a year where no one can quite agree who the number one quarterback is, and the Bears don't need a quarterback, this was a trade that was necessary, I think, for the Bears. Move down a few spots, acquire more picks, and just, man, that DJ Moore thing really just put the icing on the cake for that. Because you're saying, okay, so we got 2 ones in 2024. That's awesome. And what really kind of pushed it was the DJ Moore thing, because they're trading away their best receiver and most likely taking a quarterback at number one. I'm hearing that they're leaning towards C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. He's not going to have anyone to throw the football to. So there's a very good chance that that pick we got from the Panthers will be a high one in 2024. So we'll have two first-rounders in 2024. We have number 9, 2 second rounders this year, and then we have 2 second rounders in 2025. The rumors and everything coming out was that the Panthers wanted it to be a first rounder in 2025. Poles wanted a second rounder in DJ Moore and held his ground. And I'm sure that he probably threatened to call somebody back like, oh, you know, Jim Irsay is on the other line. Should I take his deal? Or are you going to give me DJ Moore? And, you know, they gave up DJ Moore. And, so Justin Fields has his Stephon Diggs. This takes the pressure off of Chase Claypool having to emerge as the number one. Darnell Mooney can now run rampant all over the field doing what he does. Velus Jones can be the gadget guy. Equanimeous St. Brown can fit in where he fits in. And whoever the Bears might draft and or sign to add to that wide receiver room is only going to enhance what's already there. But DJ Moore is our number one guy for sure. I mean, he's surefire. It's not like we bring in Claypool and we're going to try to wedge him in at number one, or trying to make Darnell Mooney our number one when he's not a number one guy. DJ Moore is unequivocally a number one wide receiver, and no one is arguing that now. That's what everyone is saying. He is legit number one, and he's going to be a huge target for Justin Fields. And, you know, what I'm hearing people say is that, you know, the Bears are well on their way to being able to evaluate Justin Fields properly, because he's going to have the right tools around him that you'll be able to figure out, just like Buffalo did with Josh Allen. Hell, just like the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts this past season, getting A.J. Brown from the Titans. They gave up a first-round pick to get A.J. Brown last offseason, I should say. So, and obviously that worked out really well. A.J. Brown had an outstanding year in Philadelphia, and they went to the Super Bowl together. So Jalen Hurts, grew as a passer, and that's something that we as Bear fans, and I'm sure the Bears organization themselves, are really looking forward to seeing Justin Fields make that leap in year number 3. And now that he's got a proper number one, that's obviously going to open things up for everybody else, including Darnell Mooney, including Chase Claypool, including Cole Kmet and everyone else in between. It's a hell of a move, And like I said, the total inverse of what Philadelphia had to give up to get A.J. Brown, it sure is a complete opposite of what Buffalo had to do to get Stephon Diggs. You know, it basically the Panthers paid us to take DJ Moore in this trade. The number one pick was just too much for them to turn down, so that they threw in DJ Moore. It's just, that was the part that, I mean, obviously it's very exciting, but, you know, you don't know what the return on the trade is going to be until several years from now. The immediate return of DJ Moore is what makes this trade so compelling, and what makes Poles look like a goddamn genius, that he was able to get, an all-pro, top-level, legit wide receiver number one thrown into this deal, along with 2 ones and 2 twos. So just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Could not be happier with the trade. The only thing that would have made it better was if it had been somewhere like if the Colts had been the trade partner and we're just moving down to four. So we're still in striking distance of a Will Anderson if we wanted to add him or anybody else. Things open up at nine. I'm hearing Lucas Van Esk, Skoronski, the lineman from Northwestern, hoping that Tyree Wilson maybe possibly falls to the Bears at nine, so on and so forth. It definitely opens up the possibilities. And this is Ryan Poles we're talking about, who is the complete opposite of Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace was all about trading up to get his guy and you know, squandering future assets in order to do it. Ryan Poles is all about trading back, acquiring assets, letting it come to him. And I wouldn't count him out as, you know, maybe dropping a couple more spots from 9 to 12 or, you know, 9 to 14 or something like that, landing somebody awesome and gaining some more picks along the way. So, I mean, it's just such an impressive move by Poles. And, like I said, really couldn't be happier with the return, especially, you know, getting DJ Moore in the deal and, you know, setting the Bears up 2-2s in 2025, 2-1s in 2024. You know, still have the ninth pick, so we're still in the top 10, and we got an extra second rounder in 2023 on top of it. The only thing that would have been better is if we'd have got Carolina's second round pick at 39. And so there wouldn't be that big a gap between our first and second round pick, but we'll have 53 from the Ravens in the Roquan deal and 61 from Carolina as part of this trade. So, and then we also have the first pick in the third round, which is 64. So we'll have four picks in the top 64, three from 53 to 64 in that cluster right there. So the Bears are going to be adding some significant talent to the roster. I mean, and we saw what Poles did with eight picks in day three, you know, four fifth rounders, 2 6th round, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, we got some players out of that, not to mention a free agent in a rookie free agent in Jack Sanborn and everything. So I think that his talent evaluation skills are pretty sharp. I mean, I know we only got one season and, you know, but Brisker, Kyler Gordon, Braxton Jones, those are three starters right there. Those are our first three draft picks in 2022, and those guys were on the field. So outstanding. So I would love to see what he's going to be able to do with basically the opposite of what he had last year, which is high draft picks, and to see what he can do with that. Will he be trading back? Will we be loading up on day three players again and all that? So exciting times ahead with the draft still to come. And who the Bears could be taking at nine is a wide open spectrum versus what their options were had they stayed at number one. So very, very cool. So let's move on to this free agency preview, and we'll just dart through this pretty quick. You know, I was on the internet kind of looking at possible targets and, you know, gathered a few here and there. After the DJ Moore contract is factored in, the Bears still over $10 million more than the second highest team in the league, which is Atlanta at $62 million. The Bears with $72.7 million in cap space still going into today. And the quote-unquote legal tampering period. The league year doesn't start until Wednesday, when these deals can become official, but starting today at 11 p.m. Central Time, they can start talking to free agents and start making deals and things like that. So, but, you know, looking at some of the target areas that the Bears probably want to look at, let's start with the offensive line. Guys at right tackle that the Bears could be interested in, Juwan Taylor from Jacksonville, Caleb McGarry from Atlanta, Mike McGlinchey, who I'm hearing is the inside favorite to possibly be the guy. Orlando Brown is definitely an interesting prospect because he's an outstanding offensive tackle. But I don't know if he'd come to Chicago because the Bears most likely want to play him at right tackle to keep Braxton Jones at left. And that was actually why Orlando Brown wanted a trade out of Baltimore, was that he was playing left tackle in the relief of the injured Ronnie Stanley. And knowing that when Ronnie Stanley came back, they were going to move Orlando Brown back to right tackle, and he wanted to stay on the left side. So he's been out in Kansas City the last few years playing that left tackle position. He is a free agent. And, you know, if the Bears want him, I think they'd have to put him at left tackle, which is probably what eliminates Orlando Brown from contention in Chicago. He would honestly be at the top of my list, but I think that whole right tackle, left tackle thing would be a sticking point. Now, I'm sure $20 million a season would ease the pain of that. But, you know, he got himself out of a good situation in Baltimore because he wanted to play left tackle. Was able to go to Kansas City. He lucked out there. The Chiefs traded for him. But now that he can choose where he wants to go, I'm sure he would also choose the terms as well, as far as, like, I'm coming here to play, to be your left tackle, not to play the right side while you groom a kid to play a spot that I know I can play, kind of thing. So, but, you know, Taylor, McGarry, McGlinchey, Orlando Brown, those are the big targets. Like I said, I've been hearing on Twitter and everywhere else, McGlinchey is probably the guy that we're going to end up signing. And I don't have a problem with that. He's been a stud for the 49ers. They say his pass blocking leaves some things to be desired. But, you know, I did some research on that. And number one, he was recovering from a quadricep injury. But, like, from the second half of the season, like week 8 until the end of the year, which is when the 49ers really started taking off and went on their winning streak and all that kind of stuff. I think he only gave up like 3 sacks and like a handful of pressures. So I would take McGlinchey. The guy's an animal, for one. I think he kind of brings the attitude and the aggressiveness that Ryan Poles, a former offensive lineman himself, is looking for. So I think it might be McGlinchey. But don't rule out Caleb McGarry from Atlanta either. So that's a possibility. On the inside, at guard, possible replacements for Cody White here. I keep seeing everywhere he might be a cap casualty for the Bears. You know, he's fallen off a bit. He was banged up last year. You know, this is 2023. He was drafted in 2016, so this is 8th season going in. And obviously, you know, linemen can play for a very long time, but if you've been banged up, that makes it more difficult. But some names on the list: Will Hernandez from the Giants, Connor McGovern, Ben Powers, Dalton Risner. I'm actually not sure who that is, but that was a name that was kind of thrown out there. And Isaac Sumalo from Philadelphia, all on the list there. You know, I'm not in love with any of those guys. I think that number 9, it puts us in a spot that Pete Skoranek from Northwestern would be good for us at 9, but that with him playing him at guard, now you're taking a guard inside the top 10, and as he played tackle in college, and he was obviously very good, the top tackle on the board, but he's a lot of people feel better suited for guard in the NFL. And, you know, he's not Quentin Nelson, as far as, like, where you just watched him just maul people over and over again. He wasn't as dominant, you know, to be moving him to the inside, or to, you know, to justify taking a guard in the top 10. It's not unprecedented. It's just not a popular move, but I don't think it would matter for the Bears. And I certainly don't think it would matter to Ryan Poles. You know, if they get to 9 and he's the best player available on the board, Poles is going to pull the trigger. So we'll see what happens there. Do the Bears need a new center? You know, obviously we need to get Mustafa the hell out of there. And Lucas Patrick coming off of the toe injury that cost him, I mean, well, he had the broken hand that he played through Kept him out of training camp, and he played through it with the mitt on the hand while he was rotating in and out at guard with Tevin Jenkins. Then in his first game where he finally moved to starting center, he suffers the toe injury. He's out for the season. And then Mustafa, who we all were happy to see go, thrown back in there for the rest of the season. And he had his moments here and there, but more times than not, if something was going wrong, it was on Mustafa, and Mustafa being the center makes him the shortest path to the quarterback. You know, having to go around Jones or Riley Reiff around the right side and a tackle and whatnot. It took them much longer to get there than people just blowing right past Sam Mustafa over and over again. So, interesting candidates out there. Austin Blythe, Ethan Pochick from I believe he's from the Colts, Ben Jones. And, it's definitely something that should be explored. I'm hoping that possibly at 53, that kid from Minnesota falls to the Bears in the second round. His name, it's hyphenated and it's escaping me right now. I didn't write that down. Sorry, guys. But, the couple articles I read, Pochett seems to be like the favorite in that one as far as like who people would prefer there. Moving on to the defensive side, obviously we need some help on the outside rushing the passer. We've kind of traded our way out of the Will Anderson area. He's not going to fall to us at nine, but possibly Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech could fall to us. Lucas Van Ness, who's a Chicago guy from the University of Iowa, could definitely be there at nine. So those are choices in the draft. But as far as, picking up veteran help in free agency, Samson Ekubam Ibukam from, I believe, San Francisco is out there. Yannick Ngakoue has been bouncing around the league yet lately. Arden Key. Frank Clark, he's the one that kind of perks my ears up a little bit because he was a cap casualty for the Chiefs. Just let him go a few days ago, actually. So he might be, with his ties to Kansas City, maybe Ryan Poles can convince him to come in on a franchise-friendly one-year deal and see where we go from there to help groom whoever it is the Bears could possibly bring in on the younger side and everything. I would lean towards Frank Clark. He had an outstanding year last year for the Chiefs. They won a Super Bowl and everything. And it's not that his production had fallen off. He just was more money than the Chiefs can handle. And they ended up having to let him go and test the market. So he's available. I would love to see the Bears pick him up. I would love Poles to use the Kansas City connection to maybe bring him in on a short 1 or 2 year deal so that we'd have, again, like in DJ Moore, a proven commodity on the edge that's, still a very productive player. Somebody put Leonard Floyd on the list that I was looking at. He did awesome in his time with the Rams, but I think we've been there, done that with Floyd. I just don't see that happening. But, I like Frank Clark. Yannick Ngakoue would be fun, so that would be interesting to see see what happens there, to see if one of those dominoes is the first to fall when free agency starts later today. Then we move on to three technique, and of course, Matt Eberflus has said many times that this is the steam that drives the engine as far as his defense is concerned. And some really exciting names on this list, like Javon Hargrave, who's a little on the older side, 30, 31 years old, but last year at 30 years old, had 11 sacks from the interior defensive line for the Eagles last year. So he can still get it done. Being on the older side, maybe he would be a little bit cheaper to sign than, say, a Draymond Jones from the Broncos, who's probably going to warrant somewhere between 18 and 20 million. A season. I'm hearing Zach Allen is a big name that the Bears might consider if they can't get either one of those guys. And then obviously we talked about before, Jalen Carter's a possibility at number nine because of all of his drama. He's, I don't know if anybody's going to be willing to risk a top five pick on him that they would have before any of this, you know, drag racing nonsense got started, and unfortunately ended up costing two people their lives. So, you know, we'll see. But as far as the names here, you know, I would love either Hargrave or Jones to be the one that the Bears signed. I think as far as youth and long-term return, I think Draymond Jones is the pick. But if you're talking about production, you can't go wrong with either one of those guys. I mean, Hargrave was a beast for the Eagles last year. 11 sacks from the interior. That is not an easy thing to do for an inside tackle to do in the pass rushing game. So you have the shortest route to the quarterback being right there at the middle of the line of scrimmage, but you're fighting two and three guys with the guard with the center and the two guards to get there. So the fact that he was that productive, was able to get the quarterback and being, you know, in the NFL on the wrong side of 30, very, very impressive. Very, very impressive. So another area of interest for the Bears, especially with Roquan gone now and having gotten himself extended with the Ravens, linebacker. Some interesting names, Levante David from the Buccaneers, Tremaine Edwards from the Bills. But I think the favorite is going to be Bobby Okereke from the Colts, you know, having played with Eberflus and under Eberflus when he was DC out there. I think that what I've been seeing, like projecting, is his contract would be, you know, $10 to $12 million a season. Which is a far cry from the 20 that Roquan got from Baltimore and the Bobby Wagners and the Fred Warners of the world getting $20 million so a season out of their respective teams and everything. But you know, I think Okereke is the favorite for a few reasons. Number one is production level. Number two, the fact that you know, he knows Eberflus's defense, would basically just be able to come right in like a fish to water and do it. Other interesting names, Eric Kendricks, Kazir White, David Long Jr. and such. I mean, those are all names that maybe could be, you know, added on later. I really like Levante David. He's been a stud for the Bucks. Tremaine Edwards was talked about as being a pick for the Bears. But that was the year that we drafted Roquan, and that was kind of like the debate. Do we go with Roquan? Do we go with Edwards? You know, we took Roquan at 8, and Edwards went a few picks later to Buffalo. And the risk with Edwards was that he was like only 19 when he got drafted, and or something crazy, like one of the youngest players ever drafted into the league. It's like, do we draft this kid that's, you know, as far as his age, is barely out of high school, you know, and somehow he managed to go to college and get a career in, you know, and still only be 19 when he got drafted. So it's kind of crazy, but he played very well for Buffalo, and he's testing the free agent waters. We'll see where he ends up. Maybe he goes back home to the Bills. Maybe he ends up somewhere else. And then another area of concern for the Bears is cornerback number two. Because we got our one in Jalen Johnson. We got our slot guy in Kyler Gordon. Or maybe he is the cornerback two of the future. But it's always nice to have at least three cornerbacks in your holster there. Guys like William Jackson, third, former number one pick by the Bengals. Rakia Sin, a top pick for the Colts. Jonathan Jones, Ronald Darby, and so on. Be interesting to see if the Bears entertain any of these guys. Also, Darius Slay was let go by the Eagles, and I saw something online saying that Jaquan Brisker was trying to recruit him to come to the Bears. Wouldn't that be nice? The only problem there is, as they say, Darius Slay on the wrong side of 30. I heard that he was 32. So, I mean, not dirt old or anything like that, but definitely on the higher side of what the Bears are looking for at current. Before we wrap up, let's go back to the offensive side. You know, defense being such a weakness for the Bears last year. It was probably going to be quite a bit of the focus of this offseason period, let alone free agency with Okirke and you know, possibly getting our three technique, maybe signing Frank Clark or someone on the edge to enhance the defensive line kind of thing. But obviously we have some, we're not perfect on offense. We're in good shape, especially with DJ Moore now. But some areas that we could improve in. Interesting list of backup quarterbacks that are available right now. Marcus Mariota is out there. Tyler Heinicke, Teddy Bridgewater, Jacoby Brissett, among others right now. Obviously, Andy Dalton is out there as well, and other guys like that. I think of this list, if one of the more smarter investments a football team can make is to have, in my opinion, two of the same quarterback. Kind of like when Baltimore had Lamar Jackson, they had RG3 behind him as the backup, which pretty much means you can run the same offense with this guy. God forbid something happens to the number one guy. And in this list here, I think the person that best that fits that is Marcus Mariota. He is the guy that you know, especially in college, Heisman Trophy winner and all that kind of stuff, made his name with his feet just as well as his arm. So, I mean, he's not obviously up to the level of a Justin Fields, but he can definitely use his feet if you need to. You'd definitely be able to run the RPOs and the quarterback options and things like that with Mariota out there. So God forbid something happens to Justin Fields. I think Marcus Mariota is the best person to fit that. Now, whether or not he's somebody that we would want, because this is a guy who kind of abandoned his team for a bit last year because, you know, when they found out they were going to start the rookie and whatnot. I don't know, but as far as like just the X's and O's portion of it, I think Marcus Mariota is the best fit because he's the person that we would lose the least with at the backup quarterback position. As far as like having to tailor the offense to the quarterback, you know, Trevor Siemian is definitely not Justin Fields, so Mariota is probably the guy that I would want to see back there. I don't know if the Bears are in the market for a backup with Trevor Siemian out there, and you know, maybe they could draft somebody on day three to kind of develop and eventually become the backup or whatnot. But just an interesting list to put out there. Now, running back is going to be an interesting area for the Bears. Obviously, David Montgomery is a free agent. I'm hearing that the Bears want to re-sign him, but with guys like Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, and such getting franchise tagged, the market for running backs is drying up, which means that the market for David Montgomery is growing, and that you know, because of the lack of options, Montgomery could be a popular guy on the market. He's productive, and he's been banged up a couple times, but he hasn't had anything serious. Only missed a few games here and there, and when he came back, he was as productive as he was before he was injured. The only thing lacking in David Montgomery's game is that breakaway speed. You know, obviously he's broken a few big runs and everything, but he's not that guy that's going to hit a home run every single time. That's the only thing that's missing from his game. He can catch the ball. He's an amazing blocker. You know, he's tough as nails. He's produced some of the most beautiful 3-yard and a cloud of dust runs I've ever seen in my life, because the guy's got no quit in him. There's a lot to love about David Montgomery, and I would love to see him back. I absolutely would. I think it would be a hole in the locker room if we let him go. So I'm hoping that the Bears are good on their intention to try to bring him back, and maybe the market just prices him out of the Bears' range, and that's why we have to, you know, see him play in a different uniform. But as far as, you know, his talent and his desire and his ability to get things done, I would love to have Montgomery back. Other interesting names out there: Jamal Williams, who had a very good season in Detroit; Rashad Penny, who was on his way to have a great year in Seattle before getting injured; Miles Sanders. The year that Montgomery and Sanders got drafted, 2019, it was, you know, I think Sanders was the favorite for most Bear fans because we were in the market for running back after having traded Jordan Howard away. But with the Bears not having a pick in that draft until the third round because of the Khalil Mack trade, Miles Sanders was out of our range. He went in the second round to the Eagles, obviously, and we had to, I hate the word, I hate to say settle, because Montgomery worked out fantastically for us, but we had to settle for getting a running back in the third round, and that was Montgomery. So Sanders, on the other hand, does have that breakaway speed. He does have that home run hitting ability. So that would be a very interesting signing for the Bears. James Robinson, a very good running back from Jacksonville as well. So some possibilities there for the Bears. I see a lot of people online excited about Bijan from Texas. But number one, the Bears are not taking him at 9. And number two, he will not be there at 53 when the Bears are picking again. So you could just rush him right out of your mind. And then finally, some pass catchers to kind of enhance the wide receiver room that we have now. Interesting names, you know, Scotty Miller, who was a favorite target of Brady. Am I thinking of the right Scotty Miller? I think that's who it was. Mac Hollins, formerly of the Raiders, Paris Campbell's out there, Marvin Jones. But I think the favorite, if the Bears are going to add a depth receiver, would be Mecole Hardman. They played together. They, as in he and Justin Fields, were teammates when Fields was in Georgia. And there have been some online chatter about the two of them, quote unquote, reuniting. So I think if the Bears went, not to mention the guy is a human blur. He is one of the faster receivers that the NFL has. So be interesting to see them possibly reunite. Don't know if it's something the Bears are going to explore in free agency after having gotten their hands on DJ Moore, but you never have too many weapons. And then finally, tight end. Our number two to go with Cole Kmet. Robert Tonyan is out there. Hayden Hurst of the Ravens and I believe Bengals. Irv Smith Jr., formerly of the Vikings. I wouldn't mind Robert Tonyan. I mean, it seemed like every Packer game I watched, it seemed like that guy was always catching touchdown passes before he got hurt last year. Or was it 2021 that he got hurt? Either way. But he recovered from injury. I'm pretty sure it was 2021 he played this past season, but he's out available on the market and a number two, an alternative to Cole Kmet. Wouldn't mind having Robert Tonyan on the team, especially if he could score three touchdowns against the Packers the next time we play them. So anyway, guys, there's your quick and crude free agency preview. Like I said, the Bears, after the DJ Moore contract being factored in, $72.7 million in cap space. With free agency kicking off by the time most of you are hearing this today on Monday morning around 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 Eastern, and so on and so forth. So I'll probably, especially once I go on my lunch break today, will be living on NFL Network waiting for these things to come in and who the deals are, who the Bears possibly signed. Did we sign Okirke and McGlinchey right off the bat? Is it Draymond Jones? Is it Javon Hargrave? Is it both? I mean, we got the money, so we'll see what Poles is doing with basically the complete opposite situation that he walked in last year. Last year, five picks, no first rounder, you know, maybe 20 or 30 million in cap space to re-sign 50-something players. This year, all the draft picks, especially after this DJ Moore trade, you know, 90 something million in cap space, 72 after factoring in more. It's a night and day situation that Ryan Poles is working with in this offseason, and he's off to a great start because the football team is already better than it was at the end of the season, adding DJ Moore and everything. So we're already in an outstanding position than we were when the season ended. So really looking forward to this free agency period and to everything ahead. I don't know how often I'll be back. Like I said, I'm not a big draft preview guy, so maybe I'll try to wrangle somebody in to help us to help educate us on who we should be looking at, especially now that the Bears are at 9 and all the possibilities that that could open up for us. Maybe our good buddy Eric Lambert from Sports Mockery will come back and talk to us. Maybe we'll find another draft expert out there. So keep it locked on the social media at BTU_Larry on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can always join the Facebook group. Just search Bears Talk Underground and join the group, and I'll keep you posted on when new episodes are coming out. So that's going to do it, guys. Come on back. Keep your eyes on the social media for when the next episode will come. It will most likely be in about a week or so after the first wave of free agency is over. We'll do a free agency review episode, talk about who the Bears signed and who we got our hooks into, who do we miss out on, and so on. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.